Hey everybody, welcome to episode 5 of CreateCast, the show about people who make good. As always, I'm your host, Chase K. Now, I do this sort of cool musician, singer, songwriter thing a lot of the time, but when I'm not doing that or recording this podcast, I really love video games. I grew up playing the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo 64 with my brother and, you know, the PlayStation and all that, and so it's sort of something that, you know, much like people growing up with Disney films love Disney films, I really love video games and video game characters, and in fact, a lot of my musical influences come from great video game composers. The video game soundtrack section of my iTunes library is sort of getting out of hand. I tell you this, of course, because today's guest is Megaran, a hip-hop artist who really gained a lot of notoriety for his use of video game samples, specifically from Mega Man, in his music. Now, for the uninitiated, a lot of Megaran's music is referred to as nerdcore, which is music, hip-hop, that focuses on the ever-widening scope of nerd culture. That could mean sci-fi, comic books, or in this case, video games. However, as a songwriter, one of the things that drew me to Megaran's music is that it really is music first, and so I think it's something that anyone can enjoy. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, our giveaway is still on, so make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe in the iTunes Store. Also, make sure to visit our website, createcastpod.com, to sign up for our email newsletter. We're going to be selecting one random commenter in the iTunes Store and one email recipient to receive The War of Art, an incredible book by Stephen Pressfield on creativity, as well as a CreateCast sticker pack and some other goodies. If you want to double your chances, do both. So once again, visit createcastpod.com to sign up for our email newsletter and make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to CreateCast in the iTunes Store. For a real treat, make sure to stay tuned after the interview to hear Megaran's song, The Girl with the Makeup. This is off of his record Forever Famicom, which for any hip-hop head is a must-listen. Also, check in the description for a link to Megaran's website where you can find all of his music and more info about his shows. He's actually on tour in the UK right now, and he'll be around the US later this summer. And now, without further ado, here's our interview with Megaran. Hey everybody, welcome to CreateCast. We have a really incredible guest today. We're talking right now with Random, aka Megaran, an awesome hip-hop and nerdcore artist. Ran, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chase. I appreciate you having me. One quick thing. As of this year, there's no longer an AKA or any confusion. I'm just Megaran. Turns out to be a little easier for people to follow. So it's just Megaran.
For sure, man. And you know, obviously, I think that's a good place to start because I think, like a lot of people, I first heard about your music because of your video game stuff. So when did that begin? What really spawned that sort of that Mega Man influence?
Well, I'd always been a Mega Man fan. I mean, who wasn't? In the, you know, 80s and 90s, there were some really great games that came about. And I really got the inspiration many years later. It's actually, I think it was the 20th anniversary of Mega Man, and I started playing the games again, and I thought, what if this music could be remixed and you know, turned into hip-hop tracks? And so I worked on some stuff with my DJ DN3 and created what was supposed to be one song, but it turned into a whole entire album called Megaran, which would be me as Random becoming Mega Man. And the album turned out really well. It was really fun, and next thing you know, Capcom actually got a hold of it, and so that was a bit of a scary moment, because I thought that that was going to be the end, right at the beginning. So I was expecting a, you know, lawsuit or some sort of cease and desist action, but they were totally fine with it, and they loved it, and which later led to me becoming licensed by Capcom. You know, they gave me an okay to do what I was doing, and just has been a crazy ride since then. And I didn't realize I was, I guess, riding along the line of a subgenre of music called nerdcore, and that was what led to me kind of finding my path. And it was just me trying something with a strange experiment that became kind of what's turned into my career.
Yeah, you know, and one of the honestly really interesting things I find about your music, I mean, I'm a songwriter myself, and it seems like with a lot of nerdcore, which I really love, it's really heavy-handed, and it's, you know, they really want you to, they want you to know, okay, I'm rapping over this specific track from this specific game. But one thing I've noticed about your music is that it's more about just the music, and sort of almost the game is secondary in a way. It's almost just more important. Like, obviously your beats and your rhymes sort of just stand alone from the game, which I think has sort of contributed to a lot of your success.
Well, thank you, man. That's a big part of what I try to do, is to have it so that everything could stand independently and it's not heavily reliant on the game sample, you know. So some tracks I may discuss the game, but only when there's a parallel I feel in my own life or in my own existence, and then I'll explore that throughout the game narrative story. But otherwise, I try to make sure I can stand independently, and that's the hip-hop kid in me, I think. A lot of times throughout hip-hop, sampling is such a big part of hip-hop, but hip-hoppers like to sample something that's known and make it to the point where it's not recognizable. You know, I think that's the whole building something from nothing or building a completely new creation aesthetic of hip-hop that I've carried over mainly to what I do. And so therefore, it's much less reliant on the actual sample and more on the content.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think with a lot of, you know, and you're different in a lot of ways from other nerdcorers in that you sort of straddle that line. And I mean, you have, you know, your Mega Ran stuff and sort of that more video game centric thing like Forever Famicom. But you also have, you know, like Soul Veggies you just released, I mean, which is obviously not game focused. I'm curious, have you ever, obviously you've been really embraced by sort of that nerdcore community, but have you ever been, received any pushback, you know, from the hip-hop community because, you know, you're the game rapper? I mean, has that ever been an issue?
It's usually an issue when people read about me, say, in a magazine or on a website. They initially think, like, this is going to be atrocious, you know, and then we get together and maybe they see a live show and then they realize that those hip-hop elements are there and that it's a fun show, it's entertaining, and not to toot my own horn, but it's the skill level is there. It's up to par because of me. You know, it's the result of 15 plus years of working at this craft under the hip hop banner, and it's just a mild transition. It's not a complete divergence.
Mm-hmm. So when you were younger and really sort of just starting out, what type of artists did you look to for inspiration? I mean, who were maybe some of your early hip hop influences?
My earliest hip-hop influence is a guy named Chubb Rock. Now, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was a super intelligent guy with a great booming voice. He's a big guy as well. He didn't use any profanity, and he was always intelligent and commercially just kind of palatable. And so I felt like I wanted to be that. And so later on, there was a guy named LL Cool J, who I felt like took that to the next level, where it wasn't overly, I mean, he had a little bit of explicit stuff, but it wasn't overly explicit, always had a positive message, and it was super versatile. So he could make a battle rap song, but make a love song, and then tell a story, and then do a fantasy. Those two were probably my biggest inspirations in the beginning, and still are, actually.
So take me a little bit, you know, so where does really a song start for you? I mean, obviously, you know, you might have a beat, but I'm curious, when you're looking to, let's say, make an album or something, are you starting with more beats? Are you starting with a concept? Or is it starting with maybe, I have this idea for this story that I want to tell, or I have this specific rhyme, and then maybe finding a beat to match it?
It's a little bit of all of that, but for the most part, especially with this next album I'm working on, everything is a concept, a mood. And I realized that my last few albums were kind of happy, and I felt like I hadn't explored the side of me that isn't always happy and positive. And so it led to me writing some songs that were about things that I don't like, and those became the concept. It was more so just exploring the other side of the super happy-go-lucky, positive teacher rapper guy, you know, who's not, you know, I feel like it's unrealistic and it's just disingenuous to pretend to be happy all the time when you're not. You know, some things make you upset, make you sad, make you angry. And so I started writing about those things, and that became the concept. It was more or less exploring the inside of Mega Ran, like the guy who isn't always colorful and positive.
Well, you know, and I think it's really incredible that, you know, as an artist, as an artist, you feel that safety to explore that. I mean, I think part of that is probably just the fact that it seems to me that you have a really supportive fan base. And, you know, it's sort of that thing that you hear as a musician about, you know, if you have like the 1,000 true fans who really support you, you know, support you as an artist. And it sounds like you've sort of found that. And I'm kind of curious. I mean, obviously, it would have been harder for an artist like you to exist even a decade ago, and especially, you know, 2 decades ago. So it's kind of interesting to see that grow, you know, sort of along with the internet and the fact that you're able to find that really unique niche community.
Yeah, it's a blessing. I count my lucky stars every day. Like you said, 10, 20 years ago, this would not have happened, and it couldn't have happened. So I'm just lucky that I went out on a limb, just kind of speaking my mind and trying some new things, and found out that I wasn't the only person who loved hip hop and video games. You know, I still get a little bit of pushback from the gamer side where people are like, it's hip hop. And then, you know, then the hip hop guys are like, it's games, you know. So I feel like finding that proper overlap, you know, and it, no matter how small it is, if it's a small community and we do a show at a comic book shop and get 60 diehards in there, or you go to a show like MagFest where there's thousands of diehards. And so I feel like finding that happy medium and that niche group has been a serious blessing. And it's not easy for everyone to find that that path, but it just shows me that there is truly a market for everything. You know, it's just finding it.
Yeah, you mentioning your shows just makes me think, you know, and I say this with absolutely no cliche, and look, I consider myself pretty hardworking, but seriously, I've always gotten the impression that you are the hardest working guy in show business. I mean, it's crazy to me, and you know, it's hard, and I find this myself. It's just like, you know, I love games, and I would love to, you know, be able to take a lot of time and play, but man, when you're dedicating so much time to your craft, it's like, do you have much time to play?
No, and it's really, really annoying me. There's new games coming out I want to play. I'll even buy the game sometimes and just keep them in the package for 6 months or a year. And I'm like, wow, I could have just waited and bought this later, because I just don't have the time. I get on it, and every time I play now, I try to stream it just so that I'm doing two things at once. I'm interacting with my friends and fans. So, and at the same time, I'm getting a little bit of gameplay in. So it's crazy. I have to multitask. My entire life is multitasking. And yeah, I don't know. I have this fear, because I always feel like I wasn't supposed to be here. Like, this is a path that I definitely forged myself that I did not expect to be on. And so I'm enjoying it so much that I think that if I stop for 1 second, that it's the pathway is just going to close, you know? Like, I gotta keep scratching at this path, because if I stop, then the landslide is going to close it back up for me. So I don't really know how to slow down at this point, you know? I only know one speed, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, and one thing I've noticed with a lot of the interviews that I've done is, you know, creative people, or, you know, I mean, artists on this show, we talked, you know, artists and chefs and musicians and all these cool different people. And there's sort of this element of glamour with that lifestyle, or people have this sort of, you know, idealized view of what it's like. But I mean, obviously it's a lot of work. I mean, what are some things, you know, just from the road or from your experience that maybe people don't know about how hard it is to make it as an independent musician?
Well, just task management in general, and staying on top of time. I mean, there's never enough hours in the day. And, you know, I don't have a manager. I don't have a booking agent. I don't have a tour manager or anything like that. So anything that's done is me, you know. So when it comes down to simple things like scheduling tweets or Facebook posts, or, you know, or talking to fans or responding in merch orders, sending out merch orders, booking shows, it's 700 to 1,000 emails a day going out to people who most don't respond and don't want to talk to you, you know. So
I've been there.
It's a constant like just struggle for ears, and that's really what it is, and that doesn't stop any day of the week, which is difficult. I try to explain it, you know, to people who don't do it, or to my fiance, but it's like I don't have the set schedule like you might have, and I don't. And so when I'm doing work and then I jump off for 5 minutes to get on Facebook and like a couple things it looks like I'm just goofing around on Facebook. But I literally just took a 5 minute break from my 11-hour workday, you know? And so it's insane, but there's just so many things that you gotta work that constantly, like mainly it's the email management and just keeping finding new folks and to listen to you and that may want to book you and may want to, you know, interview you and things like that. It's just a constant search for ears.
And and podcast hosts who want to bug you for interviews at 9 in the morning.
No, this is fun.
So I mean, obviously it's a lot of work, but you've had a ton of success and your fan base is really supportive. And I mean, you're even you have coming up right now a tour in London, right? For some
Yes.
shows. And so tell me a little bit about that and how did that happen?
Going to the UK and Ireland next week, Monday to Monday. It all came together due to a festival in Dublin, Ireland, called the Ubloom Festival, who contacted me about coming out to play. And normally, that's how my tours start. It's usually one offer, one show. And I figured it would be fun to go to Ireland, of course, but it'll be more fun to not just have to come back home after one show. And so I start trying to link things together. And that's where all the emailing and calling comes in. And calling my friends and any friends or family members who've been there or any fans of mine who have been there and just setting things up. And it's just been a constant struggle. But that's how it happened. It's all because of one show and then me trying to work more into it. I actually have to be back into the UK in September for the Superbite Festival, which is a chip music fest. And so I figured going out now would allow me to set some groundwork in motion for that tour, as well as I'm working on this new album and I get to record a little bit of it out there with get some footage and things like that. So mainly it's a promotional event. It's mostly promotional purposes. I'm doing three great shows, one in London, one in Cambridge, and one in Birmingham, but and also the Dublin Festival. So it should be a lot of fun, but that's how it all came together. Just one offer turns into a tour usually.
Man, that's awesome. I mean, obviously you've had the opportunity to play at a lot of different places. I mean, what are some of your favorite places that you played? I mean, you've been Japan and then all over the US, of course. I mean, so tell me a little bit about that.
My favorite place to play is Seattle, probably. Now, I really love, but Japan was amazing, more so for just being there and the scenery and seeing the history and the castles and all this awesome stuff. But I really like playing in places where nerds get together, where people also, where nerds who are also music fans get together. And there's maybe two or three places where that happens, and it's always fun. Austin, Texas is one. Seattle, of course, New York City, Boston, and Philly are definitely my favorite places to play. But I went to Alaska earlier this year and for the first time, and Anchorage was super fun. I was not expecting that, but I had
That's
a really
crazy.
great time out there.
Man, okay. Well, we're sort of nearing the end of the interview. Just a couple of sort of final questions. You mentioned that you're working on this new record that is maybe going in a little bit, a darker direction or at least a more personal direction. What kind of, music are you looking to for inspiration on that? And I mean, what can we expect from that record?
Oh man, I've been listening to a lot of depressing stuff, but I probably need to stop that. It's been a lot of Elliott Smith. Even, and I love storytelling stuff, so I've been listening to some Bob Dylan. And even throughout hip hop, there are some of my friends who are making amazing music, Open Mike Eagle, Milo, MF Doom, Bus Driver. There's so many folks, Samus, that are great, making such amazing music that keeps me inspired. And so when my friends send me new music, that keeps me going. But a lot of this is taking the emotions that I put out on my first album, The Call, which I had bottled up for years since that release, and then kind of channeling that and combining it with some of the storytelling and the heart of Forever Famicom. And so if I could compare it to any work, it would be comparing it to my first album, which is The Call, and the Forever Famicom album. So those combined is what's creating this, the mood for this record.
That's awesome. Well, and I know, you know, and obviously anyone who's heard it, you know, Forever Famicom is just sort of a masterpiece. And it's like I was saying earlier of, you know, sort of that it's not just about the game, or it's not just about, you know, whatever you're sampling. I mean, I've played that record for real hip hop heads who are not into games at all, and they love it. You know, it's just, it's, you know, it's just one of those amazing records. Well, man, this has been a really cool interview. I guess I just have, you know, sort of a final question. If you have maybe any final words for other independent musicians, or just people who, you know, want to make interesting things, or just sort of pursue their passion like you have.
Oh, man. Well, I say read and study. That's the number one thing. People always talk about, you know, don't give up and things like that, but those are pretty obvious. But I think working as a teacher for most of my life, I learned that the best teachers are the best students. And if you're not working on getting, working on like just watching what works, learning from it, and working towards getting better at those things that you aren't necessarily good at, that's really the key to it. And if not, without those, you'll be stagnant, you'll be angry, like, and bitter and jaded, like a lot of musician friends I have. But there's a great book I've been reading called Get More Fans by Jesse Cannon, and it's not just about like, hey, you know, do this and people will like you more, but it specifies and it makes sure to tell you that at the end of the day, your music must be amazing. It's not like, oh, here's a quick trick to get you 1,000 plays. It's like, make outstanding music. And here are some quotes from outstanding musicians that can help you do that, you know? And so that's why it's super helpful to me. So I've been reading that on my iPad, and it's super, super helpful.
That's awesome. I'm definitely going to check that out. And I have to get your thoughts. Are you excited for the new Mega Man TV series that just got announced?
Oh man, if anything would be better than the Ruby Spears one, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad, but I did just buy it on DVD, so what am I? But I'm totally psyched about it, man. I think it'll be awesome. It's really interesting to hear all these Mega Man announcements, and the timing is very peculiar. But I don't care where or why, I just want it to happen. So new Mega Man game hopefully will follow, and I'll be happy.
Definitely, man. Well, if people want to find out more about your music and more about you, where can you send them?
Just go to megaran.com. That has everything. Or megaranmusic.com has my music. And at megaran on Twitter. It looks like Meg Ryan, but it's not.
Awesome, man. Well, again, this has been a really cool interview, and thanks for coming on the show. You know, the next time you're out in LA, you'll have to give me a shout-out. I actually just interviewed another guy for this podcast. He's a friend of mine from Utah, and it turns out that the house he's living, you mentioned Elliott Smith, the house that he's living in right now is actually the house where Elliott Smith recorded from a basement on a hill.
And
for real, yeah, it's the coolest little place. So, man, yeah, you'll have to hit me up.
Dude, that's nuts. All right. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I will do, man.
Crazy random connection.
I will be. That's super random. I will be in LA for E3 at least 1 to 3 days. So I'll hit you up, man.
Once again, huge thanks to Megaran for coming on the show. It was a really great interview, and I know that he's a really busy guy. As I said in the interview, he really is sort of the hardest working guy I know in show business. It's pretty crazy. I'm going to be linking to Megaran's website in the description of this episode, so make sure to go there and check it out and listen to some of his tunes. Also, stay tuned right after this to hear his song, The Girl with the Makeup. If you're new to the show, make sure you go back and check out our previous interviews, as well as rate, comment, and subscribe to the show in the iTunes store. That giveaway is still on, so make sure to do that, and also go to createcastpod.com to sign up for our email newsletter, check out some photos, and find out some more info about the show and our incredible guests. We're going to be airing episodes once a week all the way through the summer, and I've got some really, really cool people, some other musicians, some chefs, some writers lined up for the rest of the season. So, one final time, make sure to hit us up on createcastpod.com and let us know how we're doing in the comment section of the iTunes store. Now, without further ado, here is Megaran's awesome song, The Girl with the Makeup.
Hey, this is Mega Ran, reminding you to make good.
It got something to do with it got something to do with I used to make up sketches of the perfect companion, one with the right combo of passion and understanding. Out on the stoop we would make up games, spin the bottles over there, but I was way too lame. Till I met a chick in math class, her name was Dawn, the first girl I knew that put makeup on. Wanted to get with her, so I would make up lines, pretend that I was getting money just like those guys on the app. Hustle 9 to 5 to make up time, only came to school once a week cause they was on the grind. Begged my mom for a starter jacket and got 4, cause I had mad deficiencies to make up for. So I started talking back to teachers saying acting up, I would make up jokes and had a class cracking up. But I was only concerned with that one girl with the makeup, she made up my whole world.
Make love and fight, then we lost, then we make up, we dress and mess up and make up.
It was a rainy day, I was supposed to walk home with the fellas, but I made up an excuse cause I saw Dawn with no umbrella. Although it belonged to my mom's, I gave it to her anyway. I was too shy to talk, so I started to walk away until she said,
"You might as well stay until the bus comes."
Now this the kind of situation the old me would run from, but I came back, put on my act, played it cool like them cats that was sitting in the back of the class. I cracked jokes about the people walking by, and she laughed. I was officially living a lie, cause I knew if she had known I was a geek that was from the streets but far from street, I ain't have a chance. Then the feeling started rushing like an avalanche. Bus was coming, so I just grabbed the hand, wrote my number in her palm with the big pen, and we've been going steady since then.
Make love and fight, then we lost, then we make up, or dress and mess up your makeup. Make up and fight, then we lost, then we make up, and dress and mess up your makeup again.
One day I showed up at the rest, decided I was surprised her. She ain't had no makeup on, I didn't recognize her. Had to make up an excuse cause I ain't have a spine. But I don't want a girl who's only pretty part time. But she busted me, had the nerve to call me a hypocrite. Said she wasn't the only one lying, I'm no different. She knew that I was making up lies while hustling, knew that I got my cool clothing from my mother. And the sad part is that she liked me for me, and I hid behind the very same insecurities that she fell for, trying to be something that I was not. She said I liked you way before the bus stop. Not only can we not hang together, I just got an NES, yes, we could've ganged together. So I guess the moral is, work with what you got. Better to be hated for what you are than love for what you're not.
Make love and fight, then we lost, then we make up, or dress and mess up, or make up.
It got something to do with love.